pay close heed to my every word.
Hello, the road is sweet, a thigh, hurroo, hurroo. Hello, the road is sweet, a thigh, hurroo, hurroo. Hello, the road is sweet, a thigh, a stick in the hand, a drop in the eye, a doleful damsel, I did cry, Johnny, I hardly knew ya.
Welcome to the League Podcast, episode 368. I'm Durson.
Clay Inferno.
Welcome back. Clay, last week was one of your busy weeks of life, I know, every
your
year.
St. Patrick's Day celebration.
Yeah.
Ashar, shashar, shashar.
Was it okay? Did you?
It was good. It was good. My brother-in-law kind of embarrassed me a little bit, though.
Oh, no.
He showed up at the window to come to the show, the Dropkick Murphy show, and he was wearing like a full-on, like, must have been like a suit that he got at Target or something, with like shamrocks and shit like all over it, like an oversized tie. He looked like Krusty the Clown, for Christ's sake. And then I guess earlier in the day, I'm glad he didn't wear this, he had like a fake red like chin beard, leprechaun beard on.
Oh.
That he was wearing like to meet like the guys that work for him, like to give them their paychecks in the morning or something.
It was, wow.
Like, really decked out. And it was definitely really, embarrassing.
You're like, I don't know this guy.
Yeah.
Is this how you felt when we showed up at the Monkey Show? Were you embarrassed by us?
Well, you guys weren't wearing, like, matching toques.
I didn't have my
a turtleneck my, and, like, a gold chain around your neck.
Oh, yeah. That would have been great if I had my Mike Nesmith hat.
Yeah, none of you are really that tall. You know what I mean?
No, sure, so. We're not. It's not. Yeah. But yeah, it's people really do get into St. Patrick's Day. I mean, it's nice. It's a good, it's a fun holiday and whatever. You do you, but people really like to party it up.
Yeah, and like St. Patrick's Day itself was on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I was taking the bus and there were these two girls like outside at another, you know, bus stop that we passed, like, crying and yelling at each other. And it was, like, 11 a.m. They were just so wasted.
Yeah, right. That's the problem. Like, people get shit-faced at 9 in the morning. Yeah. We were in Portland Thursday to Saturday. We came home Saturday to avoid a lot of that St. Patrick's stuff. But
good for you.
I mean, jealous. Yeah. Yeah, Portland's great. Portland, Maine, of course. But, like, there were people even out Saturday in all their shamrocks and stuff.
Oh, know? Yeah, it's a whole weekend.
It's a whole thing now, yeah. It's like
My weekend started on Thursday.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, mine did too, but not for St. Patrick's Day. Although I did some drinking.
I bet you did. But you probably had, like, a Guinness. You weren't, like, rolling up to Portland, Maine going, "Where's your finest green beer?" Give me the green beer.
No, we didn't have any green beer. I don't really drink green beer. I don't know why.
Why would you?
Yeah, it's coloring. It's just beer. You know what I mean? Like, it's not. What's the difference?
Yeah.
Honestly, Guinness is okay. I like it, but it's not very high in alcohol content.
You like to
it's
get messed up.
Kind of. Well, you know, I like something a little stronger. Mm. I'm going to drink that much and be that full afterwards. But
what is the thing I used to like? A snake bite? It's like cider and Guinness.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's a good thing about Guinness. You can combine a lot of different things.
Yeah.
Dark and stormy and all that stuff, which I don't even know what they are. I shouldn't even.
No, that's a black and tan is Guinness.
Black
and
tan.
Bass.
Right. Oh, right.
And a dark and stormy, I think that's like that's something else. Like rum. I think that's like spice rum.
Huh. Very good. Black and tan is what
for somebody that doesn't drink, I know an awful lot about drinking.
Oh, well, I mean, you worked
in a bar. I was
a
professional drinker for a long time.
Well, yes. Well, I'm glad you're back.
Hopefully people are not still hungover from last weekend, although they might be.
Some people might be. They just keep the party going.
There was a guy We both had a saga lately of, I haven't really told you this, but I moved my office as well.
Oh, you mentioned that it was happening. Yeah,
it happened and it sucked. I'll just leave it at that. But there was this guy that like was in my office. Doesn't work for my division or like my part of the company. He just kind of like, let's just say he was just sharing desk space with us in the new place.
Uh-huh.
And the new place is stocked up with a fridge, is stocked up with all this beer and stuff. And the guy like went downstairs and was like, "Is this beer?" And they're like, "Yeah, I guess, you know, it's for like, you know, Wednesdays after work. We like always, everybody's sure. like invited to come wind down and have some beer or some wine or whatever."
Huh. Wind down Wednesday?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And then what he does, it's like 11 in the morning. He opened up a beer and like poured it in like a red solo cup or like a coffee cup and like drank it. Isn't that a weird
move? It's a little bit like just on a regular day or St. Pat. This isn't St. Patrick's.
This was Monday.
Oh, okay.
And I happen to know that he had gotten kicked out of the St. Patrick's Day festivities that I was at for puking on himself and causing himself a major embarrassment. So he was just really carrying it into the next day.
Well, maybe a little hair of the dog.
Yeah, right? That's what it was.
Try to kick that hangover by drinking more, which I never quite got. But, I mean, whatever. It works for some people, I guess. Whatever. But hey, whatever
you just
works. Power through it. Not as well as I used to, but yeah.
Power through it.
But wow. It's been a long time since I've been kicked out or puked and all that.
Yeah.
I guess that was like shit. Like 17 years ago, so okay.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Well, hey. It happens.
Hey, God bless him.
But I don't crack open. Never crack. I mean, like, not before noon. That's also my.
That's also like. I feel like that. Is that like a New England Puritan thing that we just all know? Not before noon.
Well, that's a Bob Durson thing, actually, as well. My dad will drink beer, like, a lot. He drinks a lot of beer, but doesn't. Not before, like, noon.
Yeah. That's good.
Seems weird. You gotta have some rules, you know. You gotta.
Yeah, you gotta tie it in a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing if I don't know, like if you're camping or something, maybe I don't know, but like.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I'm just like, yeah, just wait. There's nothing.
You could wait till noon.
Have some
coffee first,
especially if you're at work.
Yeah, if you're at work, that's not good.
That's a little. I mean, you may have I don't know. I don't know this gentleman, so never mind.
I don't either, but hopefully he won't be there for that much longer. If anyone from work is listening, which you're not.
Yeah. Right. Well, let's talk. I want to talk for a second. There was news this week. The Disney Fox buyout.
Big news.
Finally.
I guess it was happening, but then like the paperwork signed it over or something, right?
They dotted all the. You know, the I's and cross the T's. There was also another bid from
Comcast. The X-Men's.
Well, you know, yeah, X'd all the X-Men's. I want to talk for a second. I mean, all the clickbait, I guess, let's just say, is like, oh, what this means for the MCU. And it doesn't mean anything for a while. Let's just establish that right now. It's going to be a couple of years before any of that. It's not going to be like, Wolverine's not going to show up in Endgame. Right. I mean, we're unless they really are going to surprise, unless that it's going to be like a huge surprise. But what it does mean is about like it's like thousands of people, at least 4,000 is what one article I read are laid off. Like they are getting laid off in Hollywood.
That is kind of true. That is
people are all like, oh, Wolverine in the MCU. Like a lot of people are losing their jobs, like top executives, even everybody.
Yeah.
It's all set. But It is pretty. And also, I mean, but if you're a Disney guy, which I have stock in Disney because I had stock in Marvel.
Full disclosure,
I am a stockholder. I have like 1.5 shares or whatever the hell it is. Because I had stock in Marvel and when it became Disney, you know, whatever. So, but they're going to own about 40% of the U.S., the worldwide box office, all said and done, like yearly. So some people are like, this is bordering on monopoly.
Yeah. But
I don't know. So
I'm surprised that Fox had to sell itself in order to survive. Like, I just...
I don't know what... I didn't read... I mean, there's still a lot... They're going to be new... The news... Fox
yeah,
News...
The news
still
part, yeah.
They're just... They sold all the entertainment portions of their empire. It is... I don't really know, actually. I never read why they decided to do this. I get... Maybe it was just so much goddamn money.
Right.
But they're just like, you know what? Why don't we just sell this off? We don't have to worry about... I mean, they make a lot of, you know, like big movies. They make a lot of also like, you know, like Shape of Water won Best Picture last year.
Like Fox was, like, Searchlight. Fox. They're getting rid of something called like Fox 2000.
Fox 2000.
Like, I'm not really familiar with what that is, but.
It was just another imprint, you know, they could use to release movies through. I don't, you know.
But yeah, not Sony. But yeah, Fox. I was thinking like Sony Picture Classics, but Fox like included a bunch of different brands besides the ones you just noticed.
And of course, we know the long list of things that Disney will now own. Obviously, X-Men, Fantastic Four, Simpsons, Avatar. Like the list goes on and on. They did change their banner on their website. Disney.
Oh.
So the top banner at the top of the website now includes Bart Simpson, Deadpool, Avatar, Atlanta, the show. But it's cool. I guess that people were kind of happy to see Deadpool because there was always this kind of like, what are they going to do about Deadpool?
Didn't somebody say that that Deadpool is going to be the only one that they're not going to mess with, like as far as like that it's Deadpool is safe of recasting and stuff. How do they even know that?
I don't know.
How do people know that that's what's going on?
I think they just think it appears that way, but who knows? I mean, I think it's also because there's been so much money. They would be foolish. I'll say this. I think they would be foolish to mess with it at this point. As long as Ryan Reynolds wants to do it, they just let him do it.
And it's the perfect way to really like explain any of the continuity stuff. Like it just because it's Deadpool, and he can just talk to the camera.
Yeah, there you go.
Breaking the fourth
wall. Now he's got a time machine. Now he's got Cable's time machine. Maybe he can just like whoop.
Yeah.
Like he had at the end of Deadpool 2. Which I want to say, like, as a side note, that's been on HBO lately. And I've been watching it again, like, here and there. That's a damn good movie.
It's a damn fine movie. I just rewatched the first one the other day, too.
They're both really good. But Deadpool 2 is a really good story. Like, it's got the plot is really well done. Everything really ties together pretty well. The X-Force scene where they're jumping out of the plane is just amazing.
Yeah, so good.
It's one of the funniest things ever. I tell you, it's a really well-done movie. So there you go.
Rob Delaney,
Sugar Bear.
So good.
never underestimate a man with a mustache.
What do you think of – did you watch the Toy Story 4 trailer?
No, I haven't seen the new Toy Story 4 trailer.
I don't know how I think about it. It seems like it's going to be really serious, kind of.
Oh, really?
You know? But who's to say?
Who's to say?
The little girl who's, I think, like, I don't know, Andy's sister, little sister or something, like, makes a toy out of a spork and some a pipe cleaner and some googly eyes. And since she makes a toy and she loves it so much, that toy, like, becomes alive and, like, part of the universe, but it's like this total mutant like thing, like made out of glue and a spork. So that plays like a major part of it.
I mean, I'll say I have faith, you know, that it'll be okay. But I don't think they needed to make another one.
I don't think they needed to make another one either.
Of course, like, I don't know, three is usually a good number, and then like just stop. It ended on such a cool note.
Yeah,
we've said we cried during that movie.
Oh, we did. I mean, we certainly did.
So, like, they should just stop right there. Like, go on a high note. But whatever. I have faith that I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen any trailers or anything. I'm not really that. I don't know. Just so many trailers and everything. It's just,
I watched the Dora the Explorer trailer yesterday. It actually looks pretty fun.
All right. There you go. I've never watched any Dora the Explorer ever, so I don't know anything about it.
It just looks like a teenager version of like Indiana Jones.
Huh. All right. So,
Michael Peña is his.
Oh, well, he's pretty.
Yeah, he's like the dad, Dora's dad.
Ah, very good.
And I think she has to go, like, rescue her parents from like, some golden temple in the Aztecs or something.
Wow. Very good. I guess I'll probably never see it. That's okay. All right, so do we want to talk comic?
I would love to talk comics.
Oh, good.
There was many, many, many Spider-Man comics that came out this week.
Oh.
And kind of on a Spider-Man high, I was tweeting about it last night with our friend Jay Penny, because we both got the digital version of Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh, I did as well.
There's a lot of extras on there. And
I was watching it. Rachel and I were watching it last week. I fell asleep on the couch. Last night, I should say. Fell asleep on the couch. But I was remembering, I didn't see the didn't make it to the bonus content.
Well, same thing. Stacey was loving it, but she had a long day. So she passed out. Like I said, well, we'll just resume this when you're awake, because you're not going to want to miss the end of this, because it's just so good.
Oh, the last furry bit is great. But yeah, it's just a, I just love the way. I mean, like,
the animation is so incredible.
But they took a lot of things, because, like, we've seen Spider-Man a lot, and you have to really try to make it different, and they did. They did a great job.
Yeah, they made it like diverse, and they had they even, like, just the animation. Everything was great about the animation. Like, there was even, like, stuff in there, like the way that the bodies were, like, moving when he takes the Nick Miller Spider-Man
and
is like swinging through the town, and he's like passed out.
They're like hooked onto the train, or
the
whatever.
Way that he was moving was very like, seemed like very, you know, Disney. Like how the bodies were moving and stuff was like just very cool, like classic, like old Disney animation, like Ichabod Crane or something.
And then, that's what I was gonna say. Like classic cartoon,
classic, like Sword in the Stone style, and then but mixed with all the brand new revelations of stuff, and it was just incredible. Just thought it was great.
It's a really fun movie, but it's really, I love the writing too. Like the Nick Miller Spider-Man, as you call him, is like a hilarious.
Oh, he's
character.
So good. He's so good.
So good. so like it's sort of sad in moments, but he's still like very heroic, and he really doesn't.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. I love the part where he's eating the hamburger and like, he's just like, oh no. And he's like, it's so gross. And then the check comes and he's like, you have money, right? I'm not very liquid right now. what a great movie. But so you're on a Spider-Man high. So I assume you bought Life Stories.
I did. So that's why I didn't know how to start. That was good. I assume you bought it too because of the Friendly Neighborhood Mark Bagley drawing it. But also Chip Zdarsky.
Well, I mean, he didn't draw it. But it looks a lot like him, doesn't it?
Well, he did draw it. Are you crazy?
I don't think he did. Did he? I mean, he could have. I'm pretty sure he didn't.
Spider-Man Life Story, 60s, writer Chip Zdarsky, Mark Bagley, penciler.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, that's why I bought it. Sorry, I guess I didn't know.
Well, I guess you didn't know that's why you bought it, but that is why you bought it.
I would have bought it anyway, because I was intrigued. And, you know, we know Chip Zdarsky can be sort of touch and go. He's done some good stuff, but also like some stuff I just was like, meh.
Some really stupid stuff.
All right. You can do, to be perfectly blunt.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it is with me. I'm either like it or I just really don't.
Yeah, I liked his Marvel 2-in-1 with Thing and Human Torch. But I didn't like something. I did not like his. What did he do? Spectacular Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Did not like that much. Not good. But this was kind of had that Into the Spider-Verse feel, this life, I thought, in a way. Cause, I don't know. It's just because it's old school. So it's 1966.
And the way people were talking was funny.
Yeah, it was very much like the Spider-Man that I was reading when I first started reading Spider-Man, which was mostly like Marvel Tales.
Yeah.
So it was like Spider-Man from the 60s. And this was the stuff that I was reading. And like,
oh, and a monkeys reference in here. Buy a monkey record or whatever.
Go buy monkeys. A monkey record. It's like the monkeys. And so, yeah, I like that. But it's classic. And it's, you know, he's in love with Gwen, but blah, blah, blah. And then like, whatever. Flash Thompson's actually going off to Vietnam. So that's the sort of the theme. There's like a running theme here of like the war in Vietnam.
Yeah.
And it's going on. It's Peter Parker. It's kind of like, well, should I be going over there to make a difference? Because Iron Man is over there.
Yeah, but he does. He's not feeling it. He doesn't want to.
No, he's like, I don't want to go. Well, first of all, yeah. Well, first of all, he doesn't want to reveal that he's Spider-Man.
Right.
And
which he does in a dumb way at the very end of the book, I thought. But whatever.
He didn't really like the.
Well, does Gwen Stacy know that?
Well, she does now.
No, but in regular Marvel.
Stan not Jack in regular concept. Marvel Stan and they might have retconned that or some.
Yeah, no, but no, like in the 60s, they didn't.
No.
Yeah.
She did not.
Because that's how you did it back then. You have a secret identity. Keep that shit secret.
I know. I hate now that everybody knows everything. It sucks. So, yeah. So anyway, but yeah, it's very much in that. And then he runs into Captain America. Captain America's like, well, I'm. You know, Captain America seems a little torn about it, too.
He has to go because his name is Captain America.
Right. They're kind of like, you're going to get over there, Cap. So, but he's like, Captain America does the, like, son, you're doing good here, yeah, you know.
You do you.
I love that. It's always like, son. And so then, like.
Not everyone's path is mine.
Yeah, something. You make sacrifices every day, son.
But even Cap is like, I'm gonna go check it out.
Yeah, Cap is not like, I'm gonna go get.
He's not like, I love Vietnam.
Yeah,
you know, let's go kill Charlie. He's not like Frank Castle in the Vietnam like Warren Ellis stories. He's like, where he's like really.
He's kind of like, well, you know, I'm pro America, but I'm a little. Nervous about why we're over there and stuff.
I'm gonna go check. Let me check it out for you. I'll let you know what it says.
Yeah, but anyway, so then Peter goes to Flash's going away party, and Flash is like, "Oh, I'm going over to Vietnam because that's what Spider-Man would do."
And then Peter has a look and says, "What?
What?" But so at that party, he runs afoul of Norman Osborn, who says, "I know who you are," and he says, "Walk outside, you know, quietly." And then they go out back, and he's
and kind of in the way that in Spider-Man: Homecoming, when Batman knows, he knows, You know what I mean?
Batman, Nick Miller, like you just, you look through.
When Batman is like looking at his rear view mirror, right, giving him a ride to the prom, he's like, yeah, so, yeah, I know what's up.
Yeah, like, I know. That was a pretty scary moment, actually. I thought that was really well done. In the comic books, it happens all the time, so I guess we don't. I'm not as scared, but
yeah. I was a little scared. I was a little scared when I saw it here, though. I was like, "How does he know?" Because we're just introduced to Harry and.
Well, this is kind of like Elseworlds kind of a thing.
Yeah, I know.
It's very similar to what happened, but it's a little different. So, yeah, so he fights, and it's something very similar did happen in the '60s comic where Norman Osborn forgot, like had amnesia, whatever. The Green Goblin knew who he was, but then when he sort of turned back into Norman Osborn, he had no memory of it. And then, of course, he got it back, and then it was a whole thing. But, yeah, so pretty cool stuff, blah, blah, blah. I mean, but meanwhile, so, yeah, he's like, oh, no, Flash's train is leaving. I got to get there. And he swings around. He swings to the train station. He runs into Gwen. She's like, his train left 20 minutes ago. What the hell is wrong with you? And then there's kind of like, I like you, but I don't know if I do. And they're like, ooh. And then she sees under his shirt the Spider-Man suit.
What is this?
And it is. Yeah, what is it? And then, you know, all is well, I guess. I don't know. That's kind of.
Right.
That's kind of the end. But it's not the end because there's a sort of almost like a post-credit sequence in a way, which I thought was very interesting. So Captain America is in Vietnam. And he's fighting against American soldiers.
But is that the same Cap? Or is that like the evil 50s Cap? That's like kind of a dick.
Well, all I know is he says like, he's like, if you tell Iron Man that these people are under my protection.
Right.
So are they setting up almost like a civil war?
Ooh, a little Vietnam Civil War.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, I could be reading it wrong that it's the 50s Cap.
No, I had that reaction too.
But I'm just not sure. I guess we'll...
He did say I was frozen for, you know, 20 years or whatever, and then I came back and there's a war still going on. So I think it, you know, I don't know.
I did like how back in the bar scene, Norman Osborn was like, do you see that pumpkin up there?
Yeah.
There's 10 of those. So you better meet me in the back alley or I'm gonna
blow all these people away.
All these fuckers up.
Fuckers?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, the whole issue was pretty well done because this could have been really cheesy and like, here we go.
This is like, you know, five stars Chip Zdarsky. Just like Fantastic Four, Marvel 2-in-1. You know, like this is great. This is perfect. Like, he's a good person to have around that understands or just has a appreciation for like the Marvel legacy. Like, especially now that Bendis isn't around. You know? Yes. And he's not just doing tributes to like Stan and Jack stuff. He's just doing like, you know, he's just incorporating that shit.
Well, I like that this, like, they're doing young Peter Parker, but not in like a, I don't know, you know what I mean? It's not like Ultimate or, you know, like Ultimate Spider-Man where it was like, oh, it's set in present day. Like,
yeah, it's almost like the opposite of Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah, it's like this is what he should have been going through in 1965.
Yeah, and I guess that's the point of this series is like he's going to age in real time.
Yeah, I think it's great. It's what cool. A great idea, you know? Brilliant!
Yeah, brilliant. And yeah, it has like star. kind of like that Jeff Loeb colors kind of cover.
Oh yeah.
It kind of reminded me a little bit of those kind of stories too.
Well, there was still a lot of, I feel like there was a lot of meat on the bone there. And then they, you know, when they killed Gwen, it was kind of like a big moment. Not that they shouldn't have done it, 'cause it was a cool moment in history.
Yeah.
And all that. But like, there were more stories to be told and,
Right.
And you know, we kind of get to see some of them.
And since they are going to do it, like, whatever this is, like a mini series.
Right.
You know, it's okay that Gwen knows who Spider-Man is now, because by the 70s rolls around, she's probably going to be dead.
She'll probably be dead.
You know, or whatever. I don't know. I mean, or like.
Maybe not. Maybe they keep her alive in this one. Who knows?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, they can do whatever.
Yeah.
With it. But yeah, I really enjoyed.
But I like just the feel of the book. Is great.
Me too. Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
I got this another sort of number one Spidey one, which I don't have the game yet. Although we have a PS4, there's a Spider-Man City at War book.
Yeah, what is that about? I looked at that.
It's his game reverse, so it's it starts off very traditional, like just Spider story, but it also seems as if Miles is in this too, so it's like kind of a little Spider-Verse kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
But this is just it's, you know, it starts out with a regular old Peter Parker Spider-Man, like, you know, Bagley costume. You know, he's cool. Working a lot. He's getting all these text messages from MJ and Aunt May, and he's like ignoring his phone because he's just too busy. And you know, he keeps missing these calls from Dr. Otto Octavius, who is not Doc Ock yet. Like, he's working for Doc Ock.
Right.
Like, in a lab. Kind of like in the Spider-Man 2 movie. And he's like, well, I could really use your help setting up my new invention. And his invention, of course, is, like, the octopus suit. And kind of like... Doc Ock doesn't know that Peter's Spider-Man, but he walks in on Peter, like, working on his suit, and he does that thing where they've done in Spider-Man, like, a few times, but I always think it's funny. It's like, oh, wow, you're working on ... Spider-Man's technology for him?
Yeah, it's always kind of like,
you know, like,
like, oh, my friend Spider-Man.
Yeah, because he like literally walks in on him and Peter's like trying to come up with an excuse in his head, like, oh my god, what am I going to say? And then he just kind of is like, yeah, well, I was worried about keeping my friends and family safe. And he's like, well, as I suppose, as the designer of Spider-Man's equipment, you could be in harm's way, you know? So he's right. Like, oh, phew, I guess he doesn't really get it. But then Doc Ock looks at all of his stuff, and they cleverly wrote it into the story that, you know, like the suit in the PlayStation 4 thing is like different. It has a big white spider on it and stuff.
Right. Yeah.
Those are like Doc Ock, like, went in his lab late at night, like, looks at all the stuff Peter is working on, improves it, leaves him a bunch of notes, and is like, you should do this, you should do this, you should do this. And like puts like cleats on his feet and like changes the thing. And Peter's like, oh, cool. This is awesome. But it's actually a really good Spider-Man story. There's Aunt May is working with Mr. Negative there, and it almost might as well just be in the 616. It's like just a cool story. He fights a kingpin, and I liked it. It was cool. All
right, very well.
I was surprised that it was good with the video game tie-in, but
yeah,
but it was pretty decent.
All right. Oh, there you go. That was your.
And then I got Miles, and I got Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, which is like Tom Taylor's the Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man. I kind of like, you know, I just kind of flipped through it because I like the art. And Miles Morales kind of has a Salad and Amned is the new writer on this, because obviously Bendis isn't around. He right. kind of has a it's almost like Miles Morales does Ferris Bueller. Like, him and his friends skip school, they go to a museum, but when he's in the museum, like a supervillain, like, you know, attacks everybody. And then he has like his principal guy that's like, I'm gonna find that Miles, I know he's skipping school, and he like never finds him. he by the end he's tucked into bed like all sick, like, oh, I was sick all day. By the time the principal like gets into his room to see where he is, oh yeah, I don't know, but that's
exactly like Ferris Bueller.
Yeah, yeah. So it was a pretty cool Ferris Bueller issue.
Cool.
I liked
it. All right.
A lot of Spidey.
Yeah, a lot of Spidey this week. This is big Spidey week. Wow. I don't even, what else was there for that matter? I think it was all Spidey.
It was all Spidey. 110 books. All Spider-Man.
not all Spidey. I did get, I talk about Uncanny a lot, I guess.
Yeah.
But,
what's going on over there?
You know, they're kind of solidifying things, as far as the team goes. And they're kind of on this, this like quest to sort of, cause they're like, well, there aren't going to be any more mutants. So we got to make sure the X-Men leave a decent legacy. So now they've got like Cyclops and Wolverine, and they've got some of the new mutants that are left over, and they've got Havoc, who I always liked. I always thought Havoc was funny.
Like multiple, Havoc.
Yeah. And Multiple Man, who is also, one of my favorites as well. So, and you know, whatever, they're just going on adventures. They're trying to find, some of these, you know, like some of the X-Men's nemeses. We see, I don't know if you were longtime X-Men fans or remember Val Cooper. She was like the government lady who like worked for various times. She was like hunting them down, and then sometimes she was working with them. So she's not really a nemesis, but so she was in this issue, which is very cool to see her again. And yeah, I don't know. They're.
Do I remember her from like the Jim Lee X-Men time?
Yeah, she was probably around there. And then in the X-Factor, who was writing it then? Maybe Peter David. She was kind of, there was a time where they were working for like the government and stuff like that, you know? So yeah, but I think the 90s would have been her. Yeah, she was in, she was around then. It's blonde woman. Yes. So yeah, it was good to see. There, I kind of like it. Like I said, it's kind of old school. There's not like 1,000 X-Men. It's always kind of like, oh, I don't even know half these people. Like,
right.
So I like it. They're sticking with, they happen to have a couple of my favorites, which is good. And yeah, it's very old schoolish. I do kind of like the Cyclops-Wolverine dynamic that they have going. Because Cyclops is all like, don't kill anybody. And Wolverine's like, rah, bub.
Rah. Whatever, bub, yeah. You know, I'm the best
there is. We do get to see Callisto, whatever her name is. But she was the leader of the Morlocks back in the day.
Oh, wow.
And she's back some in this one.
Deep cuts in this shit, huh?
Yeah, some deep cuts. She throws a knife, speaking of cuts, into Wolverine's head.
Whoa.
So that was pretty fun. I mean, he's okay. But
he'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, this isn't, you know, Dead Man Logan, whose healing factor doesn't work. This is regular old Wolverine, who's like, yep, I'm good. So
I didn't even, you know. I'm only segueing barely because you mentioned Peter David, but we didn't even talk about Amazing Spider-Man. Are you kicked that skank to the curb yet, or what?
I'm still reading it, but it's a little. Why, he's not writing it now, is he?
He's not, but there was in the issue at the end of it, Peter ends up in some dome with all of the animal based supervillains, and he wakes up and he's in his black suit. And then there's an ad in there. The reason I mentioned Peter David is there's an ad for a Symbiote Spider-Man #1 written by Peter David.
Yes, I did see an ad about that.
There's a lot of crazy ads in the books.
Yeah, so they've got a Carnage Hickman storyline coming up. Hickman is taking over X-Men in July. They're already like 3 months away.
I didn't know. It was said something about Evolution. I was like, that must be some X-Men thing. So is he taking over Uncanny?
They're launching 2 new X-Men books.
Oh, I see.
I think it's sort of like a crossover.
And Hickman's been like, what, just doing Image Comics for a while or something?
Yeah, he hasn't been in Marvel since the Secret Wars thing.
Yeah.
Which was a few years ago. So that's cool. They're bringing him back for something called House of X and Powers of X.
House of X, I believe.
So, yeah.
Powers of X.
Yeah. Hickman. X-Men. I'm just Googling this right now.
That's X-Men. That's exciting, because Jonathan Hickman writes damn fine comics.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm fine with it, because I do like Hickman. So they announced this at C2E2. Yeah. House of X and Powers of X, setting up a new chapter for the X-Men. So there we go.
Did you get? Did you happen to get? I don't know why I got this. I kind of regret it, but there was a cute cover for variant cover. So I was like, okay, I'll get it. Wolverine, and the cover had like a cat on it. It was like anime style.
No, I think I bought the uncute cover.
The Infinity Wolverine Infinity Watch.
Oh, I did not buy that.
I bought that.
Yeah. All right.
There's something going on with Loki. He's teamed up with Loki, and there's somebody that has the time gem is really this other guy that escaped from prison, and so him and Loki like track him down, but Wolverine has a baseball bat with time diamonds in it. So I don't know if that means there's like shards of the time gem. I don't know.
Sorry.
I've just lost the thread with the Infinity Gems.
I guess I have two.
I don't know what's going on with them, why anyone would care. I'm going to stick.
Well,
my headcanon was always Jim Starlin's Infinity Gauntlet.
Right.
And now it's gone, and now it's replaced. Now that headcanon's replaced with the movie gems.
Right.
And now I don't know why Wolverine has a baseball bat with time diamonds in it.
Yeah, I have to say that last Infinity Wars series they did recently was pretty bad.
it just seems really like a like an obvious like cash in on something that maybe some people know about now because of the movie,
right? And I couldn't get into it though because it was too different. Well, first of all, I don't know. For me, you can't do the Infinity Stones without Thanos.
Right.
You know, and then this one, he was dead. Because Gamora killed them. And it was a whole big, like, that was supposed to be a whole big reveal. Like, who killed Thanos? And then, oh, it's Gamora. And then, like, everybody else was fighting over the gems, stones, whatever you want to call them. And without Thanos, I couldn't bring myself to care.
Yeah, no, I can see that.
And it was not, I don't know, I didn't love it. I bought, it was like six issues, just like all the previous Infinity things were.
Sure.
And by the time they got to six, I was just sort of hate buying it or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever the comic book equivalent is to hate watching a show. And you know what? Want to know the funny thing, Clay?
What?
You want to hear this?
What?
Usually when something like that happens, you know, it's a six-issue series. We've talked about this.
I
buy them all, and then I put them right up on eBay. They didn't sell.
Oh, welcome.
Months. I've listed them and relisted them.
Welcome.
They will not – I cannot get rid of these things. So I'm obviously not the only one who didn't care because I've rarely – not sold a series of comics like that.
Yeah.
Even for like not, you know, I mean, not even for profit, like, you know, just to get rid of them just because like, well, I'm never going to read this again.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, wow. Like, I'm like, wow, this must be bad. I'm not the only one who thinks obviously that it must be bad.
Yeah. Can I tell you that I think that I'm sort of hate buying. I don't know if hate buying is the right word for it, but it seems to be appropriate. I hate buying Old Man Quill.
Oh, I haven't read the latest one yet. The first one
I'm reading it, and I just don't really care. I mean,
that's 12 issues of hate buying.
I know. I know.
That's going to be a lot.
I really thought the Hawkeye one was awesome.
I know? I did too.
And this one, I just don't care.
Well, how many times can you go to this well? You know what I mean? Like, it's like, okay. Because Hawkeye was already in Old Man Logan. So yeah. It was kind of like, you kind of already knew what was going on.
Yeah, so now like, you're bringing in the Guardians, and
yeah.
They all hate Peter Quill
for some reason. Yeah, they hate Peter.
But and they're still hanging out.
It's different. Like, he was not involved originally, so it's kind of just like, who, you know, I don't know. It's different.
And they just, yeah, they have, you know, like the same... they have like an army of Ghost Rider gangs, and so he has to fight them. And the one thing that was cool about this issue was Peter like fights everybody off in this like it's very much like a Western, so like fights everybody off in this big bar brawl, beats up all these Ghost Rider gang people that paint their face like the Ghost Rider, kind of like the Jokers in Batman Beyond or something.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
we're
yeah,
the
yeah.
Ghost Rider. They don't have a Z, but they might as well. So he beats them all up, and the bartender's like, thank you so much. You're the best. I want to give you this. And she gives him the pistol from Old Marvel Cowboy Two Gun Kid and said,
oh, wow.
This is my great, 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 great granddaddy. He used to patrol these parts. Now you're the sheriff in town. And she hands him like a box with the pistol in it, which was a highlight of this comic that I generally didn't care about. But I thought that was cool. but no, not worth it just for that moment.
Yeah, I found the first couple issues of that to be a little meh.
But I mean, will I continue to buy it? Sure.
Okay.
I'm a sucker. I don't know. Will it get better? Probably not. Will they give me like one Two Gun Kid moment after like 19 pages of Rocket being like, I hate you, Peter Quill, and I'm not going to tell you why? Sure. Sure, I'll do
that. That's the thing, right? Like I said this when the first one came out. Like, we already know now that Peter Quill had a family and they died. So like, but if they hadn't revealed that, we'd be wondering, like, what made this guy so angry and why is he so, like, meh? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
it was weird. I don't know. I thought it was weird storytelling.
Yep, I'm with you.
Yeah. I don't know. Not loving it.
Not loving it. Let's see. What else you got?
I'm loving it. That was all I read for this week. I don't know what else I got.
Did you drop X-23?
No, I just haven't read it yet. That was last week, though, I think, right? But
I couldn't tell you what came out this week or last week because I just read them all.
Oh, I see.
I was on the show last week, so I just read them all. So excuse me being tardy with X-23.
No, it's okay. We didn't talk about it, but in fact, I haven't even read it. So what the hell? I haven't dropped it, though. I'm going to stick with that one.
I gotta say, like, as far as fandom is concerned, my number one thing right now that I'm like super into, besides Into the Spider-Verse, which is, you know, we were talking about how great it was, but Star Trek Discovery, there was a one shot.
Very well.
It would be hard for me to go into the details of it, except for that. I guess it kind of happens between, in case anyone out there is a fan of the show, it happens between season one and season two before. Captain Pike comes on to be the official captain. So Saru, who's played by Doug Jones, he's a captain for a nice little away mission. And this was a thick book. It cost me $8, but I buy all this stuff. I buy all the Star Trek Discovery audiobooks and all the extra stuff, and they make good comics too. So I just think people would like that if they like the show.
Very well. Very well. $8, though.
But the thing is with all this stuff, especially if you consider, like, IDW, you know, like, eventually, if you're a fan of Discovery, eventually there's going to be some IDW Star Trek sale, and you could just get it then.
Digitally.
On Comixology.
Yeah.
You don't need Comixology, to read it. Comixology,
yeah, they do have a lot of sales.
They have a lot of sales, and they're usually pretty good. I usually wait even, like, on iTunes for, like, a major release to, like, go on sale before I buy it, you know?
You're a smart man.
But I didn't do that for – oh, actually, you know what? I take that back. I got a gift card. That's how I pay for Spider-Verse.
Oh, okay. I spent the $20.
Once
in a while.
Give us more of those. And, you know, the same guys that made the Lego movie.
Yeah.
And
so even though they got kicked off of Solo, they still make good stuff.
And they said they've been working on this since 2014.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a great movie. I sent you that email because you gave, speaking of Comixology and gift card, you gave me a gift card for Christmas and I finally used it.
Well, it wasn't exactly me that gave you the.
Oh, well, sorry. Somebody named Christian Bale from Vice gave me.
Maybe it was me because I'm as fat as Christian Bale. When he beefed up, I like how he just is like, I'll be either 300 pounds or 90 pounds. What does the rule call for?
I wonder what long term that will do to his body. I feel like when he's like 60, he'll be in like so unhealthy. Like,
well, he'll be in good shape to play, you know, Dark Knight Returns Batman.
Right.
He'll just be
like, want him to do that?
all pinned together.
But I bought some old school Marvel stuff. Not that old school. Old school Peter David Hulk of them. And then I just bought Old Man Logan just because I sold the issues. I had the issues, you know. And then when the movie Logan came out, I sold them for a good amount of money.
A princely sum.
And then I... yeah, so I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
now
why
I'll
not?
Because
it's good. It's good. Yeah. That's a good comics.
I'll have it digitally. I'll probably read it someday. Someday I'll be like, I feel like reading Old Man Logan, and there it is. I'll have it in comics.
That's like one of those classic, like, you know, like Watchmen or the Marvels or something. It's just like, hey, I'm gonna pull that old trade off the shelf and give it a read through.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do that.
Yeah,
and we've been talking about. We've been talking about like Peter David a lot lately, actually. So we'll see if this revelation
symbiote
Spider-Man is going to be good or.
I don't know. I go back and forth on this one. The symbiote was that, like 1988 when we first saw that?
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, like, and I know, like, all this stuff goes back a long way, but they're still, like,
and it's
revealing.
Not Venom when it's just on him. And how does he have it? And where's Venom?
Right.
I don't understand how he has this black suit.
Now there's this whole thing with Venom, and the Venom has, like, a kid, like, or whatever, or the symbiote has, like, a kid. And I don't know. It's gotten so weird. Venom is so far away from the Venom that I, you know, remember that we grew up with. It's all like, Eddie, like the suit like talks to him, yeah. And it's like, Eddie, no, Eddie, and it's just like,
You predictably not, you haven't seen Venom the movie, right?
No, I still haven't seen it.
Good thing.
I don't know. I mean, maybe this new Peter David thing will sort of reinvigorate that.
But it has the
character,
even though it is... Peter David, it still has the potential to be clone saga bad.
It does, absolutely. I'm not going to argue that.
No.
Clone saga bad, yeah.
Clone saga bad is basically
that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
And well, and like I said, there are ads for this, not Maximum Carnage. I forget even not Ultimate Carnage. What do they call it? It's some sort of Carnage crossover, which involves everybody in the Marvel universe. But I don't remember what it's called now, so
we'll see, I guess. That's
yeah.
What they say.
But they're doing a big thing with bringing him back. But yeah, so
in time
for
either Venom, the sequel, or whatever.
Absolute Carnage.
Yeah.
It is Absolute Carnage.
I mean, did you
like
hear
Donny Cates and Ryan Stegman, so that, you know.
Hey,
I mean,
Ryan Stegman.
Yeah.
Donny Cates is good.
So, we'll see.
I just think that even like these, like call them the new younger guys, even though they've been working for a little while, but Donny Cates and Chip Zdarsky, you know, I feel like there's a lot of workload put on those guys, so maybe some of the stuff isn't going to be great.
People like Bendis, you know, left and he left a hole because he obviously did a lot of books.
And Hickman left for a while.
Yeah. So.
And Sam Humphries is over at DC. Like, a lot of people are at DC.
Well, you know, they must have made them some nice offers.
Yeah.
You know.
Totally. Oh, and go ahead.
Sorry. No, I was just going to say, they get an opportunity to work on some characters that they, you know, like, oh, I always wanted to do whatever, you know, Batman or...
Yeah, whoever. why not go back and forth? If you get yourself into comics, you probably want to work on Spider-Man and Batman. That's what I would want to do.
Yeah.
There was a Batman comic that came out. Have you gotten into that yet?
No, I haven't read that yet either. I'm so
far, I will yeah, just... spoiler warning, it's a silent issue. Which is
really?
Yeah.
All right. So I should be able to read that in like 2 minutes.
It only took me a few minutes to read it, yeah. Which is like sad because I really should just say, but I had 2 weeks worth of books to read, so I really should have like tried to enjoy it more. And like the art was great. It was Lee Weeks.
Oh, very good.
But yeah, you read that and there's no dialogue. I should probably read it again.
Yeah.
Because the art.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
you just flip right through it and you're done.
Yeah, but you should really like appreciate. You're right. I mean, but I know that's what happens when you fall behind. It's hard
to do when you have so many books to read.
Yeah, like I went away for 3 days and now I'm way behind. Like that's all it took. And I have a stack of books out there. And then even like I had a couple of early mornings this week.
Oh yeah.
I had to be in work at 6:30 on Thursday.
Christ.
So usually I read a book over my morning cereal.
Yeah, you know, I picture you sitting there. Yeah. Picking your, well, I picture the whole journey. You get out of work, you go to the store, you go up to the shelf and you flip through. You want to get the good bread.
Yeah, good bread.
You have that extreme glove on, your comic picking glove, and then you bring it to the counter, and you pay for it, and you go home, and then you might go to bed. And then you might wake up the next day, pour yourself a bowl of cereal, and then sit in there and read the comic. I picture the whole thing.
Yeah, it's very well. I have a Wednesday ritual as well. Oftentimes, not all the time, but I have a code selling ritual that takes place when I get home on a Wednesday. Nice. I have a regular customer who buys certain books every week.
Nice.
And then I also sometimes I'll put a couple more up on Reddit and say, here you go. Here you go. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. So, like, what happened was this isn't that interesting. But when I used to sell codes on eBay, I had like some regular customers, and then eBay said, no more.
Yeah, that sucks.
It did. And then this guy reached out to me and he said, look, I'll do it. Well, if you want to work it out, you know, because I used to sell codes. I used to sell for like $1.95 or whatever, $1.85. Like, I'm not trying to gouge people.
Yeah. You know?
But this guy says, I'll give you $1.75 per code every week by PayPal.
Remember when comics used to cost $1.75?
I remember when back in my day, they were, when I first started buying. Okay, let's just, not to be an old man, but they were 60 cents.
Yep.
But when they went up to $1, I was like, okay, $1. Let's just keep them at $1. But now some of them are $5. Most of them are $4, whatever. So anyways, yeah, but this guy gives me $1.75 per code. And he likes to buy. And
you've gotten away from eBay.
Yeah.
Fucking.
And we have a nice deal where I email him. I'm like, oh, you're interested in this one? And he's like, maybe. Or like... If you want to give it a try, I'll buy the code and whatever. Like, we have a pretty good back and forth going now because it's been a couple of years that we've been doing this. So.
Nice.
It's pretty, and he's really fast with the money, and yeah, so we've got a good deal. So it does help. Like, like I said, when I buy something and I sell him the codes for $1.75 and then I put the books on eBay. You know what I mean? It's like a
– yeah.
I don't have to make – the full profit, like that, what I paid for it, because I did get $1.75 off the cover price.
And who knows, you might get sell a hard copy, and you might actually even make a little bit of money.
Yeah, it happens on occasion. I actually started to do some math this week, and I was like, oh well, that one made money, and that one made some money, and now, you know, I mean, it's kind of funny.
Oh,
like,
nice.
Some of the times you might
did
be
a little
lucky
audit
to
see, like, is this?
Yeah, I did a little auditing to see what would work. Only the really good books will make any kind of money, which kind of makes
up
for the fact.
I had to do that when I started like riding my bike for Uber Eats. I was like, is this worth my time? Because I kept having to buy like equipment and stuff. So like I had to do the same thing you're doing now. It's like, and then I had to pay to get my bike fixed this one day. And it's like, is this costing me money or am I making money?
Right.
But yeah, it took me like a good couple weeks to clear all the expenses and then to actually start making money. It was worth it eventually.
Mm. Yeah. It's kind of interesting. Cause like, I feel like for a while I was getting into this, like I was just selling books and I was losing money. So
yeah. Like, why am I even doing this?
Like, what did I buy this for? Just figuring I'll sell it at the end. And then, but then I didn't make any money on it. You know?
Like, yeah. Right.
There was one, like I sold, like, I think I told you I kicked Avengers to the curb, right? Kicked that game to the curb.
Sure did.
But I had bought 1 through 13 before I kicked into the curb. So those codes, this guy wasn't buying those codes, but I sold the codes on Reddit for like a dollar each. So there's $13, whatever. And then, but I only sold it for like whatever it was. It was like a loss. Or one of them was like, oh, I made 60 cents on this, lot, yeah. You know, this run of books. Like, well, that was hardly worth it, was it? Like, you know,
right.
You're just like, shit. But, you know, so hopefully the ones you make money on, you make enough to make up for the ones that you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm basically sitting on digital inventory that I could have sold over here, but.
Well, but then again, you may not have made any money.
Yeah.
And, but there's also the idea, and I know you are aware of this. We live in a small apartment and I don't have room for.
Yeah, you got to get them out.
All these comics. So if I'm never going to read this shit again, out you go. Might as well make something back on it.
Yep.
Even if it's not profit, at least it's whatever. It's out of my house. I do want to say this now really quick before we sign off, because I got to get out of here pretty soon. But
right.
So up in Portland, Rachel and I went to this comic book store just because we've been there before and it's kind of funny. It's like a small, you know, like most comic stores, kind of small, kind of junky. But they have like comic book themed, like video games and pinball machines in the back.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of a cool, like, so I'm like, oh, can we go in here again? And because we were just kind of walking around and you know, we went in. She played some pinball. I played the X-Men, like, you know, video game where you walk around and just kill Sentinels or whatever. It's
yeah.
Basically like all the video games that came out in that time. Yeah. But like, I was like, damn, man, like more comic book stores need video games in them.
Wow. That would be such a good hangout all the time.
Yeah. Like my prime has like a bargain basement.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and they just sell like quarter books or whatever down in the basement. They just clear all that crap out and put video games down there. That would totally rock.
Yeah.
Because they used to do they don't do their magic things down there anymore. They used to. Now they have like a separate room that they do the magic tournaments at.
Right.
But I'm like, damn, they need to just put some video games down here. That'd be great.
That would be good.
But I will say this about this store though. Like, I mean, if I lived in Portland, it would be fine. I could just go there, buy my books and get out and it'd be fine. But there's a lot
of. Eat your cereal, read it.
Yeah, and then go eat my cereal. But you know how some stores are, and it's just like, this is just junk. Like, it looks like literally like a yard sale.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? It's not even just comics. Like, they sell they had old records and old tapes and old VHS tapes.
Yeah. Sounds like Portland, Maine in a nutshell.
It kind of is. Like, but I mean, there is because another time we went to Portland and there was a really nice comic book store. It was like a bookstore. Like, it looked like a bookstore, not a comic book store, but like an actual bookstore. And I'm like, damn, man, like, why can't more comic book stores be like this instead
yeah, right.
of like a place that's all junky and just like piles of crap everywhere?
Yeah.
I don't even mind if you have junk, but at least like organize it a little better.
Yeah.
You know? And there's a weird thing too. So there's a sign up in this store. Maybe this was even done. I don't even know what the deal is. But there's a sign up in this store and it's very small. And it says, girls, please do not wear tight or revealing clothing.
What?
So I don't know if that's done almost. There's no. I mean, what is that about? That's not like tongue in cheek or something, right? I mean, is that weird?
I would hope it would be tongue in cheek if it's anything.
But I don't know. But like, it's weird. I mean, it's obviously kind of victim blaming here. I don't know. It's really bizarre.
Yeah, I had an incident where someone like my intern was going to be helping me out with something, and I was like, I almost wanted to say, "Hey, you're coming to this thing, like you have to wear like real pants." But I didn't end up telling them, and they didn't end up wearing real pants. And I just decided, who am I to fucking tell someone what they're supposed to wear? Like, if you're, whatever. That's
well, fine. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
As long as it's not like, oh, you have to wear a shirt and tie or something. I mean,
No, it wasn't like that. But I like kind of wanted to initially say like, yeah, try to dress up a little bit better or something. But then I decided how much that would piss me off, and like here I am like an old like guy. Telling like a somebody in their 20s like what they a female in their 20s what they should wear, and I decided I'm not gonna pick that battle as that's not up to me.
Society will
dictate the rules. I'm not fucking getting involved here.
Oh, I know what you mean. My students are supposed to wear these shirts that have the department like logo on it or whatever, and I've never ever made them wear it. In fact, I'd say if you want to keep it in the closet, and if like they also gave us these like pullovers, like if they have to go outside, that say like, you know, like the department name on. I said if you will keep it in the closet, and then if I hear someone's coming by, you can throw it on, like so that way we don't get in trouble. That's fine. Yeah. I've even given that up. Well, fuck it, wear whatever you want. Just show up.
Yeah, you know, just do the work. Like, you know, that's what's important.
Yeah. But like I don't know. That's different though. Like, I mean, like to say like don't wear revealing or tight clothing is kind of like saying like, is that because like they're in danger of getting groped, obviously, right, or whatever? Like,
yeah, danger? No, or that there's maybe because there's kids there or something. I can't think of why people say shitty things, but
I mean it's a comic book store, so that there is that sort of cosplay kind of like
true.
Cosplay does not equal consent and all that stuff. I mean, it's just weird. Maybe it's out. I don't know.
It doesn't sound like that place is very progressive.
No, it's true. That's for sure. I don't know. It's a weird thing. And I hope it's not because something happened in there, obviously.
Oh,
it's an okay store. Like I said, if I lived up there, I would be fine going in there, buying my new books, maybe playing a video game if I happen to have like, you know, some quarters. And then go on and then leave, and that would be it. Because that's pretty much what I do.
Your cereal and selling your coats.
Yeah.
Obviously.
But then, but that's pretty much what I do. I mean, I'll talk to my, you know, the people who work at the store, chat with them. But I don't hang out in the comic book store, you know. And generally, I think it's funny. Like, that's what always bugged – one of the things that bugged me about the Big Bang Theory is that they go to the comic book store like it's a hangout.
Yeah.
I don't know. And
no,
like,
it's a store.
It's just a store. You go, you buy
some lunch afterwards or something.
Yeah, right. What are they doing? Like,
yeah.
Because they were never going in, buying their new books and leaving. They were always going through like the back issues.
And they had some sort of deal with DC, so there would only be DC books. And Flash stuff all the time.
I know. It was all Flash and whatever. I don't know. But and maybe people do that. I don't know. Maybe there are people in the world who literally go through the back issues to see if that store that they go to every week has any new back issues.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
But I don't know. I don't think generally that's
what people do. Yeah, I like to go to the store, Wednesday Warriors, as we are, for been there so many years. Like, go and say hi to Hannah and grab my books, and she's saved my G.I. Joe this week, or I'll cruise around and I browse, I look at some trades, I buy some toys every once in a while, you know? But I'm in there every week.
Yeah, once in a while. But, I mean, I think that's generally what a lot of people do. They go, you know, they get their stuff, and then they leave.
And I do feel off if I don't get there by at least Thursday. But the Wednesday, I feel like I'm just checking off a big accomplishment of my week. Well, it's Wednesday, I gotta go there.
Yeah, no, I kind of look forward to that, and I'm like, oh, well, I want to go to the gym, but... You know, that means I get to the store later. And actually this week, so Brian Michael Bendis's Pearl, which is continuing as a regular.
Oh, cool.
gone. I got to the store.
Oh.
Sold out because I went to the gym first.
Yeah.
And I said, like, what the hell? And they said, well, we didn't get that many of them. And I was like, well, shit. And so now they're going to get me one.
Good.
But, yeah, weird, huh?
Just as long as you weren't wearing any tight or revealing clothes when you
walked. No, right. Yeah, what a strange thing.
You weren't, were you?
No, I'm not, especially not revealing. Nobody wants to see me in anything revealing. All right.
All right.
On that note, we're going to call it a day. But thanks for listening, everybody. Don't forget to check out leaguepodcast.com and robinhoodcomicbook.com and all the other
.coms,
social medias, and things.
Some fun stuff coming up for you guys, so check it out.
Chickity check. See you later. And we'll talk to you guys later.
Later, you fine. Red guns and drums and drums and guns. Hurroo! Red guns and drums and drums and guns. Hurroo! Red guns and drums and drums and guns. The enemy never salutes. Ashar, shashar, shashar.